weekdays. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Podcast time again.
I'm
saying that to PJ just so he knows what we're doing.
Yeah.
What's this now? Are we still on?
Who's coming in? What's happening? I'll tell you something. We're starting now, and not unusual to many listeners of the podcast. They might have found this attitude before, but I'm starting this podcast today and I'm pissed off, and that's the truth. And I'll tell you why I'm pissed off. Producer John that works with us has upset me greatly today.
Oh my God.
A chef in the studio today, and this is something that has happened routinely through my life with people. A chef came in and he made food, nice food, good food, food we wanted, food
delicious.
We look forward to, food we talked about all week, fucking good food, right? He came in, he cooked the fucking thing, and Jim had a slice, and I had a slice, and Clint had a slice, and what did John do? He took two bites and left it there, and he walked off, fuck off, and he didn't say a thing to anybody. And now it's cold, and it's half eaten, it's between me and Jim. What would we have done with that slice? We'd have finished the fucking thing, wouldn't we? Because we were looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Correct.
And John there, John with his nibbly gobbly mouth.
And I can't believe it, because let's face it, John always looks like he's starving.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And he's always
going
on. He looks
like he needs feeding.
He's always going on about, I got a bargain where I got 65 sausages for a fiver. Well, what did you do with them? Throw them in the bin? Half eat them?
Yeah,
you know,
I can't believe he
only
I wouldn't mind. I'd actually, because this particular chef who did come in, not only did he cook some fantastic, he brought with him these delicious
Mikado cakes.
Cakes, right?
Oh,
and so, like, they were absolutely gorgeous, right? But I would have actually sacrificed one of them to eat the savoury thing that he cooked.
Yeah.
So
I'd
have given John.
I'd have eaten them all. No problem.
I was just, because that was lovely. That
it was so good,
it
yeah.
It was really
good. I hate when this happens. You go to a party,
you hate
or you go to a
food.
Yeah, I do. It really winds me. It grinds my guts, it does.
Mm.
To see, like, you have three slices or something. You go, here we go now. I know the way this is going to go. I'll be out with Kelly or something. I know the way it's going
to
go.
When it comes down to the last slice.
There's three bits left, right?
Yeah.
I want all three bits. I'll be honest. I want them, right?
Yeah.
And then you're there. You fucker, I'm there, right? Well, he's gonna eat one anyway, so that's what. So we're down to two bits, and then Kelly, what do you want one? Yeah. Now, do you want one? Yeah, I told you I want one. Are you sure now? Are you gonna nibble the fucking thing and leave me? No, I thought I might. So I ate mine, two bites.
Yeah.
She's there licking it and sniffing it, rubbing her chin on it or whatever it is.
Right.
You know. And then we're about to leave or whatever. She puts the plate down. They're going, look, that's not finished. That is not finished. You didn't want one. Why didn't you let me rip you off a piece like we do with the children? You didn't want it.
Yeah.
You didn't want it. You just wanted. And now
it
looks ridiculous. I go over and I start picking up people's leftovers, and there'll be loads of them. Completely edible leftovers that people have left. You know, around.
Are you talking about just in being in a random restaurant, you'll pick up other people's?
No,
you're talking about your own children and Kelly and stuff.
No, I'm talking about a restaurant. But no, I want to pick up the leftovers, but I can't. Society says I can't. Go over and finish that man's pizza crusts. Or says I can't come over and finish. Yesterday I was doing this mental health talk thing. Although I'm very aware that this current conversation makes me sound mentally ill. But I was walking around and it was like, there was a couple of sandwiches I wanted. I couldn't get my hand. And they were half finished on the table.
Wow.
I said, I want them. But I can't go.
Above all people who deserve them, because let's face it, you are a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic.
Permanently.
But no, seriously. But the weird thing, the other side of that is, right, you hate sharing food.
I do.
So I'm amazed that you'd actually even consider tearing a piece off for Kelly. I suppose it's the lesser of two evils.
Well, let me tell you this, right? I say I hate sharing food. I hate sharing food in a one way. It's like, imagine sharing is a motorway, right?
Right.
So I hate sharing food when I have food and it's going out. I don't mind sharing food when you have food and it's coming in. I don't mind sharing food in that fashion.
Yeah.
I know what I want. I'll eat all of that.
Yeah.
You're not welcome to participate in it. I trust me, everything I have, every fucking crumb is going to get finished.
Yeah.
If
you want it, ordered it, you want it, now, you're going to eat it.
Now, if you're pig stupid enough to order something you're not going to finish, and you're asking me, do I also want a piece? Yes.
Yeah.
No problem.
And the other
coming this way.
The other technique that you've developed, which is brilliant, is that you make sure you're slightly faster than everybody else. In a communal environment, it's a few.
Always finish first.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then
in both food and sex, always finish first. Get to the goal.
And then what you do is you this.
That
subtle,
doesn't mean you stop giving, but always
you exert this slight pressure. By looking at other people's food while they're still eating.
Yeah, when they're all talking to each
and
other.
And then invariably somebody will go, do you want to try a piece of this? Yes.
Oh yeah,
yes,
you're not
finished.
Yeah, we'll have some of that actually, yeah. Yeah, I will have some of that.
It's brilliant. It has to be seen to be believed. It's been perfected, a technique that's been perfected over a few years.
If you see me in the bedroom. Are you finished? Imagine.
And where does it go? I mean, obviously everybody loves grub.
If I was a swinger, I'd be the only person finished first and back at the cocktail sausages when everyone was still only getting started.
It's not just about food wastage, is it?
No, that's a part. That was the original motivation. And then I just realised I like lots of food.
Right.
And then I just realised I like all kinds of food. And then I realised there's never enough on one plate for me. So... You know,
but again,
that's it.
Social whatever dictates that you can't just turn around and order yourself two mains.
Yeah, you can't turn around and say, yeah. Or say to the waiter, can you just take me, can I have their plate, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just before you bring it back to the kitchen, but will you just bring it by this table first, don't mind?
Like I said, there is a waste element to it. Because, like, say, just, you know, you get something I like the look of.
Right.
And I go, oh my God, are you going to eat all that? And you go, yeah. And I go, all right, okay. He's not sharing. Rude, but that's fine. And then, so I'll order one and I'll get it and I'll finish it all. Yeah. And then you'll have half finished yours and I'm thinking, what a waste. You lie. You're a liar. You're a liar. I would have eaten that half and been happy. But you lied.
But
you lied.
Because we were in the situation, remember, it wasn't far from here where you were getting breakfast and you said you ordered wrong. I can't remember what I ordered or whatever, but you went, and whatever you got,
it didn't
quite match what you were expecting.
Yeah, I lost. Right. Yeah. If ordering was a competition,
but it wasn't like you pushed it away.
Oh no, I ate every bit of it. Yeah, that's not, it's nothing got to do with it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's nothing got to do with it. Oh, you know, I've often got something with that is absolutely disgusting and then finished every bit of it and then ordered what I wanted.
Wow.
Yeah. Or just sort of moved on to somebody else's food where they were claiming they were finished and there was still plenty left.
Was there something we had in the airport once that you actually I think it might have been the only time I've ever seen you push something away.
There was, yeah. There was.
I can't even remember what
that
was.
I remember what it was. Right. We were told it was a lovely breakfast, a lovely Asian-style breakfast.
Right.
And we were like, oh, raw, jeez, noodles this time. Pork belly, woo, you're joking.
Right.
And then we got it, and I thought it was...
It didn't live up to your expectation.
Yeah. Smell a foot off it. Smell of a foot off it. I was there, I'm not eating that.
Yeah.
I'm getting something else.
That might have been unique to yours.
But
I
mind
don't know.
You, that was the same day, and Jim will tell you this is true, that was the same day, my taste buds probably weren't what they should be, because we got a round of coffees in, and I drank the full coffee, like the large cup of coffee, and said to Jim, that was the worst coffee I ever had in my life. And then Jim says, that was tea, PJ. And it turned out I drank a woman's tea. Do you remember
with
that?
With the tea bag
With
in
the
it.
Tea bag sitting in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the worst coffee I've had in ages. And she goes, oh, that was my tea. She was left for the coffee. She didn't want.
Oh, man. Yeah, but the other thing about you, though, is you're actually pretty adventurous with food.
I can be.
Whereas most people, particularly when they're eating out, right? If they haven't been somewhere before or whatever, if they don't know what they like. They are, you know, because it's like, there's a mad hang-up about ordering the wrong thing. It's like, that's where the wastage comes in. I'm going to have to pay for this and I won't really like it.
Yes.
So they get mad paranoid about ordering the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You go for anything. You're really adventurous with grub.
Yeah, I will. I'll have a go. Yeah. I will have a go. Yeah, definitely. That's true. Yeah.
Probably sometimes on the basis it works that out if brilliant. You don't like it, you'll eat somebody else's.
I'll eat it anyway. I will eat it anyway. And probably get half of someone else's. Or a quarter of two other people's. Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is an issue.
Also above having jellies in my pocket in a restaurant.
Wow.
If things are going to finish off,
In case there's quite a wait between courses.
Yeah. I'm not waiting on the dessert for age. Sometimes the desserts are too small. You're going, right, that's done. Do you ever do that? You go to a restaurant, have a 3-course meal. That was gorgeous. And everyone's going, that was amazing. I was so satisfied. Oh, it's just the right amount. And all. And you're, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it says, we'll go for a pint, we'll go for a pint. And then you just give us a minute. I'm just going to go to the toilet, straight into the centre, eating jellies. Starving.
Coming out of the restaurant is going straight next door to the, and getting a chicken roll.
A chicken roll, yeah. Turkish delight. Eating chocolate that tastes like soap. Just to get the...
So obviously I know it's going to sound ridiculous, right? Sound stating the obvious, but you go to restaurants and food places for the food.
Oh, definitely, right? Yes.
Because you know the way, there's a lot of people that treat, you know the way if somebody says, we must get together for dinner, or we'll have or we'll go out for dinner, or we'll do whatever. And what they kind of mean it's the social aspect of spending a few hours together.
Oh,
And you know, malingering over a few courses and few drinks and whatever.
No time for that. Those people ruin everything.
I want to eat it. I want it in my belly as fast as possible. And then we'll decide what we'll do afterwards.
And if we eat quick enough and it all going well, we'll be out of here in a half an hour.
So you want to go home?
Yeah, go home.
So you didn't want the social element of it at all. It was like, sorry, you said dinner. Well, I've eaten now. I know, but I thought maybe, I meant dinner as in an evening together.
Some of the best meals I've ever had out in restaurants.
Yeah.
There's been no one there but me. You know.
Would you do that? Would you do a restaurant on your own?
When I've travelled on my own and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were great.
I mean, I've done breakfasts on my own. You know, you go into a cafe or something and have
best
yourself...
Best ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Best ever. See, but you, to Jim, I'm going to give him some advice here. And you all know this is true. His missus is away at the moment. His missus is away at the moment. I'm going to give you some advice now, right?
Right, okay.
Go for a fucking fry, right? Straight after today, yeah?
Yeah.
Straight after the show. When we finish this... Go for a fry, right?
Be like a holiday meal.
Tell her none of your business.
She probably wouldn't object now if I went for a fry.
Oh. Meal.
She wouldn't object to me going for a full
Irish. What would she object to?
Oh, I tell you something. I'm not sure I'll be out in time, but if I did go for a McDonald's breakfast.
Go for one of them now. Go for two of them. Go for two.
Are you joking?
Two McMuffins.
If word got back, my life wouldn't be worth it. If I went to McDonald's without her.
Jim, I'm telling you.
Even if she's not in the country.
I'm telling you, Jim, the guilt is a sauce. The guilt is a sauce. It puts zest in the food. Sitting there. And then go home, take off your jocks. Right? Take off your jocks.
Is this still part of the food thing?
Yeah, yeah. Take off your jocks. Put a shirt and tie on and take off your pants. Stand there in your underpants. And drink a can of beer walking around the house. And I swear to God, you'll feel free.
Wow.
You'll honestly.
The liberty.
You're the liberty. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And start embrace doing, the guilt.
Yeah, stand on the coffee table drinking beer, walking up and down it. Rubbing your feet in it, no. Oh, yeah. Holding one of the leftover cold hash browns, eating it. Wah! Can't see me now, Yvonne, can you?
Yeah. What is it?
Enjoy your holiday!
Guilt
is a sauce.
About blokes that never grow out of that free gaff mentality.
Oh, I don't know.
What is that? No matter what age you get to, there's still a weird sense of like having the place to yourself.
Because it's lovely.
Like you were a teenager.
Because it's lovely. It is lovely. No matter how much you love your other half, you love your partner, you love your kids, you love the people in your life. No matter how much, you never want them. You don't want them to be away for more than a weekend or whatever. But to be able to just fuck off. For one night or two nights and just shut the fuck up and be over there and I'll be here and eating and doing everything you love but without you. It makes it better. I know it. Only for now. Not permanently better. But for now.
Yeah.
It's better. Right. The first one I'm having on my own was better than the last one I had with you. That's the truth. That's the truth. And when you come back, we'll start again. That'll be a great one.
Yeah.
But eventually we'll annoy each other again. And that's when time for one of us needs to
well, that's
to
what I was going
missing
to say,
again.
Because the other side of this is now next weekend,
I'll
be away.
And she'll be the
so
same.
So she'll have to... I wonder, does she get the same buzz? Obviously she does.
Definitely
for a start, the place will be cleaner. Will smell better.
I don't
basically
know.
All of that stuff.
I think you'll be gone and she'll be there wearing your pyjamas, making sausage sandwiches, you know, living it up, sparking up cans of Guinness. Yay! I think she'll be living it up, yeah.
It could be. You're right, everybody must get it.
Yeah,
everybody must
definitely.
Get it. As you say, as much as you love your life and the people in it.
Oh, yeah.
There
if
is
you
always,
think she's not going to be...
change is as good as a rest,
if you think she's not going to be on the phone to someone when you're gone saying, I'm fucking delighted he's out of my hair. At least once. You're mad. Yeah. You're mad.
Mind you, to be fair to her, she says that while I'm in our company sometimes as well. I wish he just wasn't in the way all the time.
Yeah, you do know you're speaking out loud. Oh, shit. Sorry. I was talking about someone else.
Anyway, right, well, whatever you're doing,
try and do it on your own this weekend. And trust me.
And if you do manage to do what PJ said, which is have a McDonald's breakfast, go home, put on a shirt and tie, take your pants off, and drink a can of beer standing on a coffee table, will you send us a photograph, will you?
Yeah. Oh, please send a picture, but blur out the wobbly bits.
Do, yeah, exactly. Make sure there's no nudity.
Well, wear underpants. That's allowed. I should have said. Underpants are necessary in case the doorbell rings.
In the meantime, we'll get out of here and leave you with some of the best bits from the show during the week. Enjoy.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. If you're old enough, like PJ and myself sadly are, to remember, there used to be phrases years ago, right, when the idea of going on holiday to somewhere abroad was still a relatively new concept. There used to be kind of phrases like deli belly and all that. Remember that?
Yeah.
That people would go abroad and they'd be trying food that they weren't used to.
They drink the water by accident or
whatever
yeah.
it might be, and they'd end up being, you know, having a bit of a dodgy tummy. Well, things that go around, eh, and come around, because now apparently the new phrase abroad is Brit belly.
In Malaga, anyway, they're saying Brit belly. That's not our term, by the way, just so you're aware. But Malaga is taking a very firm stance on unruly behaviour from what they say is British tourists. And it seems this may be very well aimed at British tourists in particular. So the same, but there's public signs, new public signs up, and they're written in English, right?
Yeah.
And they feature the Union Jack flag on the signs.
All right.
So that seems like a very sort of directly addressed...
if it's the Union Jack, that covers...
Yeah.
Very specific
see,
countries.
You would think so. So tourists, they say, are reminded they must follow municipal bylaws or face fines of up to €750 for violations. And they're saying that it's to say dress completely, the sign says. Dress completely. Both on the street and in public places. Please always wear an upper garment out of respect and out of hygiene. So it's been branded Brit belly. The tourists are getting very upset by Brit belly. Walking around topless. Which I don't know, tattoos of Newcastle or the Queen hanging off you as you're wandering around looking for ice cream and going, shall we go in here, love? And then you've got, you know, sweat rolling down your armpits and all that sort of carry on.
If we were to be really honest now, I mean, I think we know that it's probably more than just British people. But obviously we're not going to focus on that.
Well, we've no proof of that, Jim. We've no proof of that. Yes, I mean,
I'm sure no Irish person has ever walked around Malaga topless without their t-shirt on or whatnot.
Isn't it the only time ever Irish people don't get upset about being misidentified as British people?
Is
when it's stuff like this.
Yeah.
When it's bad behaviour abroad. You know, you could hear them going, yes, we go home to hell, we'll see if we get a pint of milk. Can they be wearing no clothes at all, bars, pair of speedos? And you'd go, Brits, eh?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And they get the blame regardless.
Oh, well,
but this campaign does seem to be very focused, and they're saying they're going around inappropriate attire all over the place. They're littering, there's excessive noise, reckless use of e-scooters, which sounds more like Dublin people than anything else, reckless use of e-scooters, and of course, Brit belly. It's, hanging around.
You see,
there.
The reason it's kind of easy to believe is because, you know, the stereotype of the football fan, and I mean, you mentioned Newcastle or whatever, there are, like, segments of football fans in England who seem to pride themselves on being able to not have to wear any sort of top in any sort of circumstance.
Yeah, tail ends of England. Portsmouth and Newcastle. For some reason, everybody has their tops off. It just seems to be
a
thing.
Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know.
It's the extremities.
The extremities. Yeah, the edges.
Wow.
You get no one in Norwich is sitting there with their man.
That's okay,
out,
yeah.
You know. Doing their thing. But it's like it seems
to be... Delia wouldn't have us. Delia Smith wouldn't put up with a Norwich fan.
It's all far too dignified.
And they're saying that it's not just a sort of an assault on the eyes. They're saying it's for hygiene reasons as well.
Very unhygienic to have some sweaty fella...
rub off something.
Yeah, some sweaty lad could walk in and go...
Or you could be dripping over the buffet.
Don't you even serve chips? You know? I'm coming in, ice cream. Do you have sausage flavoured ice cream? Or whatever it is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're getting all upset about it. There's been a big backlash against tourism in general around Spanish resorts over the last year, you know. saying that.
They thought that was the lifeblood. They thought they needed that.
Yeah, but they're upset about it now. They're saying it's gone beyond the excess. So there's too many. Like, they're saying they love tourism. They love a certain amount of tourism. But now signs have started popping up that say tourists go home, or tourists, you're ruining
the
area.
From the normal people, the residents
types.
Yeah,
because Airbnbs and hotels is also completely swamped. So now a lot of Spanish places are turning their ire towards all tourism. Not just British tourism, but Irish tourism, German tourism, the whole lot. There's like an anti-tourism movement in, like you said, countries that and
normally would have
that sort of thrive on it. Like, you would wonder how they would exist without it. But there you go. So now the new sort of laser pointer is being pointed on the poor fella who's just trying to walk around a bit hot with his belly hanging out.
Well, at least you know you'd be completely safe in that circumstance.
How do you mean?
Well, famously, because you are a man who literally wears a T-shirt, pair of socks and nothing else. But at least you have your top on.
That's the worst offence ever. Oh, sorry. I thought it was just a T-shirt you weren't allowed to not wear.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. We should mention at the passing of the great James Earl Jones.
Ah, James Earl Jones
died yesterday,
died.
Was it? Or
yeah, he died
middle
yesterday.
Middle of the night or something? Or yesterday.
Middle of the night. What was he, 93.
The voice
years
of I have to. You know, the Darth Vader thing is probably most famous.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I have to say, my favourite one is when he was Mufasa in The Lion King. The voice of Mufasa in The Lion King. That was brilliant.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Oh, that was so good.
I know, yeah, but look at that. Isn't it one of those movies that sort of changed so many people's childhood and everything? I mean, his voice was just, I mean, that's the thing.
He was the original CNN guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy who used to go, "This is CNN."
All of that carry on. Yeah, because he's one of those people. And at 93 years of age, his voice never failed. Like, you know, because it sounds mad, but like you said earlier, voices do age. Along
well, of course,
with
yeah, you do. And you probably don't notice it yourself because you're living with it yourself every day. But
yeah,
other people normally notice it.
Oh, you know.
Or if you listen back.
Slow decline into obscurity for most of us. But like, you know, he was in The Hunt for Red October and Field
Very
of Dreams.
Very good in that as well. Very good in The Hunt for Red
October.
He
was King Jaffy Joffer in Coming to America, which was
one of your
favourites. What a brilliant and hilarious role that was.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I tell you, his voice is nearly as good as Jim McCabe's. I can tell you that much. Let me just... Of course.
Sadly, I didn't get quite as much out of it as James Earl Jones.
Well, I wouldn't... Come here, you. You won't... I told you about a certain sausage salesman, right?
I beg your pardon?
Yes, I did.
This sounds like the weirdest euphemism I've ever heard.
I did. I need to tell you again. On Saturday, I was at the St. Anne's Market, the St. Anne's Food Market. I forgot it's about a year ago since I was there last. And I remember I went to the sausage man there, the charcoal barbecue.
Right.
And I went up and he was going the whole, Jim McCabe. the voice. I'll never forget it.
Wow.
He's
a sausage salesman and you came back empty-handed is what you're telling me.
I certainly did. I had enough of him and you after the conversation. And that's the truth.
It's about time.
Brilliant.
Think of what it's like for me having to put up with this PJ Gallagher love-in every day of my life.
Well, if it's anyway as annoying as he was about you, I can't imagine how unbearable it is. Because, and I have to say, the first lovely fella, and he was doing the whole thing. Oh, jeebus. Oh, he's unbelievable. His voice is just the best voice I've ever heard. I followed him from station to station. Oh, I was very annoyed when he got the job with you. Because
what?
I can't hear him as much, he goes. It's all it's the wrong
time.
Because
you keep talking.
Yeah.
It?
And no problem saying it. It's the wrong time of day and you talk much more. Oh, it was when it was just Jim, it was the best. He goes, I came to this country, he starts giving it all this.
Oh, he's not Irish then?
No.
Oh,
he starts giving it all this. Wait here, you're the James Earl Jones of the Colester sausage people, right? And he was giving it all this.
It's not a particularly well-known tribe.
That's his tribe, very, yeah. Jim McKay, when I came to this country, I had very poor English, hardly any English, but Jim McCabe, I could understand Jim McCabe. I'm not even joking. I could understand him. I learned my English. I learned my voice through Jim McCabe. He's good.
What sort of a wind-up is this now?
I swear to God. I'll tell you what the wind-up was. Me. I was furious. He never gave me a mention.
So you're saying my future lies in teach English as a foreign language, is it?
To the sausage men of Colester. And he was giving it all that. Yeah. Oh, his voice. He taught me English. He taught me as I was trying to learn and find my place in the world and all. He's giving it all this. Jim McCabe's voice was the background to all of this. I was there. It's a pity it's not the background of this conversation because it's doing my head in.
I think I might get a little sausage shrine out of it.
You should.
From the sausage people of Gloucester.
And he's giving it all this then. Jim McCabe gets free sausages here for life. He gets charcoal barbecue.
I'm moving.
Free hot dogs for Jim McCabe for life. And I was like, oh, well, I'll let him know. And he goes, no problem. That's €5. You don't have cash, he says. You can't get signal here in the park.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. Friday the 13th. A day, of course, that's as we were talking about earlier on. For some people, they associate with kind of superstition, bad luck, maybe. But for other people, they associate it with, particularly since the movies, they associate it with, like, you know, spooky, slightly creepy things.
All that kind of stuff, yeah. Mm. And HuffPost, you know Huffington Post?
Mm.
They put together these 8 weird things, creepy things. Yeah, just
that only happen on Friday the 13th.
No, not quite. Just 8 sort of
just
weird...
Just trying to add to the creepiness, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, but you I know. Yes, you're right. Particularly happen on Friday the 13th.
So what? These are everyday creepy things.
Everyday sort of things that if they happen, they're weird, right?
Right.
A thing is, one of them, I do a lot and I can't figure out why it's weird. Well, okay?
You know, if I was expected to be surprised by that, I'm not.
Well, have you ever been on
that you do something weird and creepy?
And I don't know it's weird and creepy.
Yeah, again, self-awareness. I wouldn't have put it very
well. I'll see now when we get to it what you think. So one of them is touching a stranger's hand by accident. You know how weird that always is. Do you ever try and put your... Do you ever do that? Do you ever, like...
Touch a stranger's hand by accident?
Yeah.
What, reaching for something at the same time or something?
Reaching for something and then you sort of weirdly stroke their hand.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Or you go to hold hands with the wrong person or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
I've done both of those. And that is weird. And then there's one, if somebody, a stranger picks something off you or tucks a tag in.
Oh, like, yeah.
Or you just have a thing there.
Oh, that would be.
And
then
you're like, get your bleeding hand off. What are you doing? You know
that is.
Sort of,
even though they're trying to be nice.
Even though they're trying to be nice.
It does feel a little bit.
They're just going to get that there and they pull something off.
It feels a little bit kind of. Especially, I have to say, I'm sorry, but especially if it's kind of, you know, a man to a woman. I just took your.
Yeah.
Yeah, your label is showing it. Or something. You know what I mean? And does feel.
It is weird. Yeah. And especially if she meant to bring the sausage out on her shoulder. And then they say someone whispering into your ear when it's just the two of you. Well, that would be weird.
Yeah,
it's never happened, but if someone came up and goes, how are you doing? Are you, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, to be honest with
you,
that's
here.
It's those people that actually should be broadened out to, you know, people who, the invading your personal space thing.
Yes. Again, and it is in it.
There's plenty of room.
Plenty
but they
room.
Still insist on standing almost shoulder to shoulder with you to speak to you or
talking to you, so, and you can feel their spit hitting you on the chin. And
that
all
is
there.
Always weird.
You're like, what the hell?
And
is
people
this?
Who like, if they even if they're sitting beside you, like in a pub, or it happened to me the other day actually, they're sitting beside you at a bar or whatever, and there's plenty of room, and you can hear them. It's not like it's loud. It's not like they're trying.
Yeah,
and you can hear them perfectly, but they still insist on leaning over.
Yeah.
To talk to you. Don't do that anymore.
That's round, would you see? Everything's so cloak and dagger up there in the hills. You wouldn't know who you're talking to. Also, making eye contact with people in toilets, you know, direct eye contact. I do, I have had that a bit weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, no one's saying anything. You're washing your hands and the man looks around, you're washing your hands, he's washing his hands, and you're both going. There is a weird moment in it. I do understand that.
Okay, yeah.
Well, here's the one I don't get.
Okay, so this is the one you do all the time. That the rest of the world has decided is weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paying for things in change. Why is that on the list? Why is that on the list? I will quite often pay for tolls and change. If I have a little bit of change left over and I'm buying a bar of chocolate or whatever, I'll pay for that.
Well, first of all, I'm more amazed you have change. I've never seen you with money.
I rarely do.
Yeah.
But I do.
Everything is always off your phone or plastic or.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I pay for it.
But if I have change, I use it. Or like that, get Jim to pay for it. Even if I have change, Jim is still paying for it most of the time.
But. No, now sadly I have to agree with you now. I'm disappointed with that.
I'm so happy with that.
I was hoping that I'd be able to slag
you. Why is that weird?
I don't see anything weird about it. Paying with change.
Yeah.
What, I mean, are we talking like, now here, like, that'll be 15.35. Okay, I'm going to give it to you in 5 cents pieces that I have here. That might be a bit
weird.
Maybe.
I suppose, yeah.
But just having the change, surely that's a good thing.
I suppose it depends. Like you said, what are you buying? If you're buying a towel and you have 160 in your pocket, you got 160. If you're buying a machete for 16 euros and you have it
in five.
And you have it random kind of 50-10. Like, where? What are you doing with this machete?
Fishing.
Like, I don't believe you.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie.
John Bon Jovi saved somebody's life.
He's a hero. An actual bona fide hero.
Let's just be clear here. This is not one of those stories where, you know, somebody says, oh my God, your music just got me through such a tough time. All right. This is not one of those things.
No, this is real life.
The man saved another person's life. He was already a shining star in the music fraternity. Now the man, literally, he can polish his halo. Because he's actually saved somebody's life.
Police have released the footage and everything of it happening. It happened Tuesday night. The rock legend, he was in Nashville shooting a music video.
Mm.
I don't know who watches music videos anymore, but he was shooting a music video. And he was on this bridge, the John Seigel Tower Bridge or something it's called. And he saw a woman on the bridge and he realised that she was in bad need. That, might be the last thing she ever did. She was looking to jump. She was a potential jumper from the bridge. And he approaches the woman with a friend as well, and he begins talking to her, and they talk for a few minutes, and then eventually John Bon Jovi and his friend, they reach out and pull her back from the bridge. They, literally talked her down. So Nashville police have issued an official thank you to Bon Jovi on their Twitter account and all that as well, saying, well done. I mean, these are the type of people we need, and it's fantastic.
So he's a proper hero.
Yeah, he really is.
Do you get medals and stuff for that now?
He can do, yeah. I bet the city will, because of who he is.
Honor
too.
Him.
And it shines a great light on mental health and mental illness and all that as well. Mm. I bet you they will give him something.
Good for you, John Bon Jovi.
Good for you, John.
Not just a fantastic singer of great songs and an actor in Ali McBeal or whatever it was that you were in.
Imagine your woman now when she's getting care and everything. She'll be sitting there with her therapist. Her therapist will be like, what happened to John Bon Jovi? Say me, she go, oh, no, come on.
Yeah.
If you're not going to take this
one
seriously.
Is this one of your things? Is this, we need to be in reality here.
She go, no, I'm telling you,
John Bon Jovi saved my life.
I listen to Aerosmith myself, and I know they've had a great effect on me. No, you're not listening to me.
But that is the weird one, isn't it? It's kind of, there'll be an awful lot of people who'll assume you're spoofing.
Yeah, big time.
If you come up with a world celebrity supposedly saved your life, you could kind of understand people being sceptical.
Oh, yeah,
you'd need to be holding the footage on your phone all the time.
Yeah. Well, you'd end up doing something stupid. You go, oh yeah, did you? And tell me what happened. I suppose he walked up to you and he says, listen, come here, don't do it. I'll tell you about a friend of mine, right? Tommy, he used to walk on the docks. And then the union went on strike. He was down on his luck. It was tough. So tough, he said. And then there's Mrs. Gina. She felt like running away.
Of course.
She cried, but Tommy whispered, he says, listen, it's okay.
Yeah.
Someday.
Wow.
We're living on a prayer is what we are, love. We're living on a prayer,
Whatever, yeah. Whatever works.
Whatever works. And she'd be there going, this is, are you serious? Are you, I've had my bad times as well, Once I was shot in the heart by an ex-missus. I says, you're to blame. I says, you give love a bad name, I said.
But I came through that.
And now look at me. Shot down in a bed of rock. Oh, no, that's the wrong song. I've mixed them up again. Lay me down
in a bed. That's the second time.
Yeah.
Shot down in a blaze of glory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lay me down on a bed of roses.
Well, whichever one of them sounds more positive, that's the one I am. That's what he would say. Yeah, yeah.
So. They would, yeah, in fairness. She's got to have a job in her hands convincing the world that John Bon Jovi. It was John Bon Jovi who saved her life.
Yeah, he was saying, never say goodbye, he says. Never say goodbye.
Oh, holding on,
we got to try. Holding on.
You've got a million of them, haven't you?
I may have been a huge fan of Slippery When Wet.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.